Morning. Greet you all in the name of Jesus this morning. Well, it's a beautiful morning of singing and praise. And it's beautiful. And Lord Aiden, I thank you so much for that encouragement. It's definitely what we all want is to be on fire for God. And, you know, I was reading this morning how Jesus said, I came not to to bring peace upon earth, but a sword. And that fire will do that. We'll bring a sword. So, most of you know, but there's, I think, some visitors here. We are going through the book of Proverbs as a congregation. This morning, I've been asked to have Proverbs 25. Verses 8 through 12. We can read those now. It says, go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. As an earring of gold and an ornament of gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. If we can, let's bow for a word of prayer real quick. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we want to come to you in prayer this morning in the name of Jesus and praise you and worship you, Lord. Lord, thank thee for the eternal word that thou hast given us here in this book form, Lord, that thou hast first given us thy son to be an example for us. We thank thee and praise thee for that and pray that we could hear thy word and thy spirit can speak to us and we can be open vessels that thou can pour thy thy spirit into us, full and overflowing, Lord, that that anywhere we go we can have abundance of thee to spread out to other peoples, Lord. And Lord, as was asked, if we would also pray for Nicholas and Judy and the little church there in Anthrarius, Lord, just yes, that thy burning fire can come through that church and it can be refined to be precious gold for thee, Lord. We just ask for this and ask for thy thy blessing today and pray that thy will can be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 8. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. I'm sure all of you have seen it, and I've done it before. Whenever somebody has said something or done something, it doesn't seem quite right. And think that we need to correct it or make sure it's, things are done right. And we go to make that correction, but it's... it's done hastily. We don't take time to pray. I have many times in the past have not taken the time to slow down and pray and bring the petition before God and ask Him if this is this right? Is this what you really want? Proverbs 15:18. And there it says, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. I think that's what God wants. We read in the New Testament, be angry and sin not, and be not angry at thy brother. Also want to look at an account who was a man that was not slow to anger in Scripture in Daniel chapter 3. But you're all familiar with that passage. But I'd like to read it if I could. Starting at verse 12 in Daniel 3. says there are, this is after King Nebuchadnezzar set up a golden image and the people were to bow down to it. And there was some that did not want to. And so they men were bringing a report to the king. And this is what they said. They said, "There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." This next verse is what really ties it in. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and hosen and their hats and their other garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then these men, therefore, being the king's commandment, was urgent, that's the haste, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princesses, governors, captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, language, which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Then the king promised Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So, as it says in 8 there, verse 8 in Proverbs, "Do not go hastily to strive, lest thou not know what to do in the end thereof when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame." You know, those three men did put Nebuchadnezzar to shame. You know, as a king, we heard last week, a beautiful message that Lucas gave about kings. And, they did not honor the king in a sense. And that's what God tells us to do whenever the word that the king or anybody gives us is contrary to what his word is, that we are to obey God rather than man. And that's what these men did, and it brought anger. But in the end, instead of the king not knowing what to say, he had the right word to say. He said that God is the true God. There is only one God. And not saying he didn't, and his life didn't turn out the best in the end anyhow, but he did have a good word to say. A little bit more on a personal note, I know of a another man that did not have much to say after something happened one time, and I want to be careful about this here. It only happened by the grace of God, but the way it ended out was by His mercy and strength. There was a time whenever, here about 4 years ago, whenever I was in prison, and as many of you have seen, you've been there to prison visiting, we have these property boxes that are maybe 2 feet deep, 3 feet wide, and about a foot high, and that's where you're supposed to store all your property. We don't have a lot in there. Some people maybe have two or three of them, but typically you're only supposed to have one, maybe two. And this particular prison that I was at, I had two of them. And there was as days went on, one morning, I don't know if it was in the morning or after work one day or when it was, but anyhow, I looked in my box and I noticed that about a month's worth of my wages was gone, with food and commissary and so forth. And it's like, okay. You learn real quick in prison. You don't go and just blab and tattle and tell everybody. But even more so as a Christian, that's not the thing to do. So anyhow, that week I did have a visit with my parents, and I just told them because it's good to at least let it be known and not hold it in. And about 2 weeks later, there was a man that came to me. This particular room, there was an upstairs and a downstairs. I was upstairs, and this guy lived downstairs, and he came, and he said, "So I hear that people are taking advantage of you and stealing from you." I said, "Well, how do you know that? What do you know?" And he said, "Well, it's the word around prison, that people are doing this." And I was like, "Well, not sure how you know, because I haven't told anybody." And so he came, and he let his own folly be known what happened. And he's like, well, he said, "If you want protection from that, just let me know." He wanted me to pay him to continue so I could keep my own stuff, which is, it's just backwards, but that's prison thinking. But by God's mercy and grace, I never did pay him, and really never had anything stolen again. It was just, something to pray for men like that their gain is done in an ill way. Going on here to verse 9 and 10. It says, "Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away." The word that came to me as I was reading this is a talebearer or a busybody. And Proverbs 18:8, in that verse it says, "The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly." And also in 26:20, right across the page, it says, "Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases." Another verse real quick in 1 Peter 4:12. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, insomuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, Happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And on their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So we're not to be busybodies. The other word that came to me is gossipers. And that's something that is very destructive that we do, that we can do. I'm not saying that we're exempt from it here, it's something that I do, I should say. That's sometimes, to my shame. I'd ask if any of you see me or hear me saying something, if you would stop me in my tracks and address that. Yesterday I was with a brother, and he was telling me about how he has to deal with a certain individual, and his words, he says he's venting, and I agree with that. The way he was presenting it was in a different manner. He wasn't going about saying just to plant ill wills about somebody. He had a hard time dealing with an individual, and if he just kept holding it in, it would fester and it could become bitterness. So to share that in the right manner for the right reason, to get counsel, to get instruction, is a very good thing. But don't just to go around and talk to people, you know, about so and so and what so and so is doing. It can be very destructive. So I want to caution all of us on that area, in both ways, to not down talk anybody, but to also not hold things in to be destructive. So, one word I'd like to look at in these verses is in verse 10. It says, "Lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away." That word infamy, you know, if we break that word down, in is as not or no, as in inexcusable, no excuses. And so infamy is like fame, so there's no fame. In the Webster's 1828, it says infamy is a total loss of reputation or public disgrace. That made me think of Philippians, where Jesus had made himself of no reputation. And so that always intrigued me. You know, I was always under the impression that we all have a reputation. You know, in the sense everybody can be used as an example, whether good or bad. So I looked up the word reputation, and there's two definitions in there. The first one is of a reputable reputation, to have honor and respect. And the other one is just to have a reputation, whether good or bad. And so what Jesus, I think he made himself so he did not have a high esteem among people, in the sense where he was magnified in people. I mean, he had a very good righteous reputation, but he did not puff himself up to where he was something. And so in this infamy, the total loss of reputation, where people do not esteem you, you know, they do not look at you as somebody worthwhile to be around. There again, it took me back to my sin that I was in, and whenever it became known and public, and there was very few people that really wanted to have anything to do with me, and rightfully so. My parents, my family, they still wanted to do things with me. There are still people to this day who really don't have a lot to do with me. And that's their decision to make. I'm not saying I'm somebody worthwhile of being able, or that I should have that respect only by the grace of God and being submitted to Him. But what I find interesting is in verse 10, it says, "In thine infamy, turn not away." So what it is, people, they do these things, slander other people and so forth, and people see them as a negative person, and they go to their death carrying that. They don't ever repent of it and turn from it and be a different person. Very detrimental to their life and to their community and any other, however else are connected to other people. But that's what God wants from us. You know, if we lose that, our reputable reputation among other people, to repent of that, to be who He wants us to be, not to try to exalt ourselves or be somebody great, but just to be the servant of the Most High God. Going on to verses 11 and 12. "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear." You know, as far as gold and silver, it's glittery, it's glowing, and those of the rich class, a lot of times that's what they're... I was in a home one time, and they had a dining room table set up with all the just set up all the time, you know, with plates and the silverware on there, and the silverware I'm sure was real silver, and the gold, the cups had gold rings on them, the plates had gold around and stuff. It just glittered and glamored, and that's just the idea here. It's not that that gold and silver is something, but how'd that go? I turned away from it. A word fitly spoken. So to help and encourage somebody is a bright thing. It's something to be esteemed. But then in verse 12, "As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear." The story that came to me with that is in 2 Samuel. I'd like to read that with y'all if I could. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Somebody gave me a little different idea of this story here some time ago, and it really, really touched me. Second Samuel 12, chapter 1. "And the Lord," this is after David with his sin with Bathsheba and killing Uriah the Hittite, and God sent his prophet Nathan. "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him, and with his children it did eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter." "And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity." In this next verse, I can just see Nathan, because of his love for David. There's a probability that he could not look David in the eye. Possibly looked away, maybe went, looked out a window somewhere. And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the counsel of the Lord to do the evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart out of thy house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the son. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord has also hath pity, hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemy of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed into his house and asked, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. That is what I view as a wise reprover upon an obedient ear, what Nathan did to David. And David had the obedient ear to hear and to repent and to turn from his sinfulness again to the Lord God. May the Lord bless you. If we could sing number 292, I'd appreciate that.